Welcome to the first week of our new series called It's Your Move. I think it's safe to say that we all want blessings and help from God when things go wrong, when the medical report doesn't look good, when your kids are off course, when you're struggling in your marriage or your finances or people come against you. But God doesn't open the windows of heaven until we do something that will activate his grace, something that will switch on his favor in our lives. Nothing will ever happen without God's grace, but there are times when he asks us to take an important step first before he goes further. In effect, he's saying, it's your move. Now today, in the first week of this series, I want to talk with you about an important move you can make. I want to talk with you about keep the word. Our world is filled with words, and words are very powerful. Words can lift you up or tear you down. They can inspire, heal, comfort, unite, and motivate people, but they can also inflict harm, humiliate others, destroy relationships. Every day you have the opportunity to take in negative, hurtful, and offensive words. But God wants you to fill your mind and your spirit with his words, positive, encouraging, uplifting, and loving words from him. He wants you to make the right move and keep his words on the inside. The words we keep on the inside are often, you know, deep down in our spirit. They're often more powerful than words other people say to us. They can have a tremendous impact in a positive or a negative way. The problem is, many times, it seems like we have an angel sitting on one shoulder and a little devil sitting on the other shoulder. They are both speaking words to us. They're both speaking words to us, and there's a war going on inside. Someone cuts you off in traffic. The little devil sitting on that one shoulder is going to tell you, get angry. Start tailgating that jerk. Make a crude and offensive gesture to get back at him. Or maybe the words inside are saying to you, you know what, it is time to get back at that coworker, to get even with that coworker who's always making you look bad. Now's your chance to start a rumor. Or maybe you're jealous of someone, you know, how good they look or how successful they've been. And like clockwork, that little devil will start whispering in your ear saying, you better do something to take them down. They're getting ahead of you. Or that person who always leaves you out of things, you're tempted to get upset, live offended, you know, walk around with a chip on your shoulder. The Apostle Paul calls this living according to the flesh. The flesh represents our carnal desires, things like jealousy, pride, anger, gluttony. And the flesh is always speaking words to us inside, telling us to compromise our values, lower our standards, and overindulge in things that are not good for us. The flesh wants to rule. The flesh wants to control our minds and our hearts. The flesh wants to overpower what we know is best and dictate how we live. But you can't let the flesh take over, or it will eventually take you down. Instead, we have to keep the words of God on the inside. Years ago, I was driving down to a religious conference in Los Angeles. I go every year, but in these past years, this year I'm talking about, I brought two priests that were new. They had just come over from Africa, and they were going to serve in our archdiocese at some of the parishes around here, and I thought they'd be interested in this conference. You know, it's the largest religious conference in the world. So they said they'd come along, and we got in the car, and we started driving several hours, and of course, it was time then to get some gas. We needed to stop and get gas for a bathroom break. And I pulled up to the pump, and the others got out and went inside the mini mart. I filled up my tank, and then I went inside to stock up on some food and supplies. Well, the other priests were just taking a really long time, kind of lollygagging, looking at everything, fascinated by all the American merchandise in the 7-Eleven, you know, all the things that they could buy. So I finally said, I'll just wait outside until you're ready to go. So I went out, and there was a man standing by my car, and his face was all red. He looked really angry, seemed furious. I said, hi. And he responded by shouting, 8 minutes. I said, excuse me? He pointed to his watch and said, that's how long I have been waiting for you to come out of that store and move your car. 8 minutes. But let me just say that between the words 8 and minutes, he inserted another word that I can't repeat here in church. Anyway, I said, I'm really sorry. That's not, you know, normally I would move my car after filling my tank to one of the parking spaces outside the store if I knew I was going to be there for a while. But at the time, they were all taken. Well, he accused me of lying, said that wasn't true, there were lots of spots available. He just kept yelling and yelling at me. He was an older man, and he was driving this mobile home, and I could see out of the back window of the RV his wife peeking through the window. I saw her face, and she looked so afraid and so worried. I can imagine her thinking, oh no, here he goes again. Why can't my husband control his temper? Well, just about then, the other two priests came out from the store, and they walked up to the car, and I thought, thank God, here comes some backup, because the man just kept yelling at me. Did I mention that these two priests were enormous human beings? Well, that wasn't lost on him either. He immediately backed off, but not before hurling a few more invectives and choice words in our direction. Well, I apologized again. I said I was sorry. And we all piled in my Honda and drove off. It wasn't until the next stop that I noticed the man had done something to my car. He had crumpled up my license plate, and he had folded it into a V, like a V shape, so it was sticking out of the car like this. I drove hundreds of miles like that. Well, when we stopped and I saw that, you can see a picture of it here. You can see the crease. The numbers have been taken out, but you can see the crease in there. It's still there today. I tried to fold it back out, you know, but it's still there. And I keep waiting for a highway patrol officer to stop me because of that license plate. Then I can tell him the story. But you know, when that man cursed and shouted vile words at me, he was living according to the flesh. And in that moment, unfortunately, he lost the war inside because he lost control of his temper. But there is a different, better way to live. Paul talks about it in the second reading today. He says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. In Galatians, he calls this other way of life walking in the Spirit. He goes on in today's reading to say, we are not debtors to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. That means we are under no obligation to follow the orders of the flesh. Yes, sir, letting our desires and our feelings rule over us like a dictator. But let's be honest, it's very easy to live according to the flesh, isn't it? Because that means when somebody's rude to you, you get to be rude right back. A neighbor, a friend, coworker, somebody wins an award, does something great. You don't have to be happy for them. You can be angry, upset, envious, even work to undermine them. That's what the flesh wants to do anyway. Or when a friend tells you or tries to talk you into doing something you know is not right, the flesh says, hey, come on, why resist? You know you're going to give in. It's easier to give in. Just do it. And that's right, because it takes discipline to walk in the Spirit. It takes self-control to block out those words, telling us to compromise our standards, telling us to just throw in the towel, give up on trying to be good and do good. But the good news is that Jesus promised in the gospel today that he would give us the Holy Spirit to help us walk in the Spirit. He said, whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. He was saying that when we take that first important step, make that move to try to do what he asked, to keep his word, God and Jesus will come and live in us through the Holy Spirit. And that's what enables us to walk in the Spirit. He goes on to say that the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. That means that when we're tempted to be lazy and just do whatever the flesh tells us to do, not resist, follow the wrong words, not be our best, the Holy Spirit will remind us of the right thing to do in that moment. He will speak words of goodness. He will speak words of truth. He will speak words that will help us keep the word of Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus had been raised from the dead, and he was just about to go back, ascend back into heaven to be with his Father. But before he went, he gathered his disciples and told them to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come. But he didn't tell them how long it would be. And so day after day, night after night, they kept waiting and waiting and waiting, and nothing changed. The apostles were still afraid of the authorities, still lonely without Jesus, still unsure of what to do next. It would have been very easy to scatter, do just the opposite of what Jesus said, leave town, get away from a bad situation. But instead, they obeyed, followed the command of Jesus, and kept his word. They made the right move, and in the end, it paid off in a big way. They were all together in one place, just as Jesus had told them. And then there was a shift. Something big happened. And suddenly, there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind. And it filled the entire house in which they were. And then there appeared to them tongues as a fire, which parted and came down to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And after that, the apostles were different. They were no longer afraid, timid, insecure. They went out into the world and spoke bold words about Jesus. They were confident in their mission. No one could talk them out of their destiny. What changed? They were walking in the Spirit, not living according to the flesh, because they made the right move and kept the word of Jesus. There are a lot of people in our neighborhood who love to walk their dogs on our campus. And I don't blame them, because there's, you know, wide open space, and in my opinion, some of the most beautiful views and scenery in the Bay Area. Very beautiful scenery and views. In fact, those of you who are watching online, if you're not from our area, if you're ever in our area, we'd love for you to come visit. We'll make you feel right at home, won't we? Yes, we will. Anyway, I always love seeing those dogs and their owners, you know, walking along. And I often say a prayer that the natural beauty will inspire them to come back on Sunday. But there's this one neighbor who never curbs her dog. Day after day, she refuses to pick up the waste her pet leaves behind. And every time I go out for a run, go out the lower gate, I see it there, the messes piling up. And it used to make me very angry. I'd get so upset. I would think of all the ways that I could get back at her and give her a taste of her own medicine. I came up with this plan once that every time I saw one of the messes on the lawn from her dog, I knew which one they were, I would bag it up, take it over to her house, drop it right at her front door with a little note around it that said, "I think you forgot this. Here you go. God bless you." I even heard about this company that does DNA testing to help identify inconsiderate pet owners. I thought, I'm going to take those DNA results down to the police department, file a complaint with the city, schedule a town hall meeting, make a fuss, cause a scene, you know, and just get angry, and maybe even call in the FBI. I was desperate to get even with her at all costs, and you know what? It made me feel good just thinking about it. But that was my flesh talking. That was my flesh talking, and ultimately the Spirit talked me out of it. I realized that if I did any of that, I would be just like that man who damaged my license plate. Now, when I go for a run, I see it on the ground, the messes, and I just pass by, smile, and say a prayer for the dog. Because it's not his fault, right? It's not his fault. But you know, as hard as it was, I was able to keep the word of Jesus and keep his command to love even when it's hard. See, you do not have to obey the flesh telling you to take revenge, be jealous of others, get angry and impatient, judge and criticize people. You don't have to take orders from the flesh, waste your time with unhealthy activities, hang out with people who will just drag you down, cheat on tests, or act dishonestly in a business deal. You don't have to follow the dictates of the flesh. You have the power to walk in the Spirit. The truth is, it's hard, because that battle is always going on inside of us. That war inside will continue for as long as we live. But the good news is that you can choose the outcome. Every step you take to honor God, to follow His command, to keep His word, the more the Holy Spirit will come to you and give you the strength to say no to the flesh. It's time to overthrow that dictator, isn't it? It's time to depose that tyrant. It's time to stage a coup against the oppressive regime of the flesh. It's time to walk in the Spirit. In other words, it's your move.